Okay. Luke chapter 11. You know how we do it now? Luke 11, Matthew 6. That's our opening. We are looking at teach us to pray. And see why we pray, how to pray, what to pray. Luke 11 verse 1, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. When he was done, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So John taught his disciples to pray. You teach your disciples to pray. Amen. You teach your disciples to pray. A Christian who doesn't pray is hurting himself. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. That means prayer should be taught. We can't just assume that prayer is prayer. You know, there are folks who say, prayer is prayer. Just pray. Nah, the Bible is not really strong on that. The Bible teaches us how to pray. And we saw Matthew's account in Matthew 6. As I asked to open Matthew 6. Lord, teach us to pray. I ask you in Jesus' name. In Matthew 6 verse 5, Jesus now began to teach them to pray. This is Matthew's account of Luke 11, right? So, you know, what you have is the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what we call the four gospels, or the synoptic account. I've explained that to you before. It was in Glossary, definitely. Not any other place where I taught you how John might not be a synopsis. Remember? The Gospel of John. Okay, that's the teaching, the Gospel of John. Where was that John not being a synopsis as it were? Because he didn't really double down on what every other person wrote. John actually just wrote what almost all the things they missed out. Because John was the last one, 95 AD, was the last to be written. So he wrote almost, that's why you see most of the miracles you see in the book of John are not documented in Matthew, Luke, Mark and Luke. The Cana of Galilee, a lot of miracles that John documented were not documented in the other ones. So we're looking at synopsis and all that. But Matthew 6 is Matthew's account of Luke 11. Does that make sense? Alright, so let's see what Jesus said. When he said, teach us to pray. In verse 5, he says, when you pray, you will not be as the hypocrites. So he starts teaching them prayer by teaching them what prayer is not. And that's why I've told you that unlearning is also part of learning. Part of learning is the ability to unlearn certain things. That means I'm going to say, you know what? I can change my perception on this. It's learning. Learning will be unlearning, also relearning. I've heard this before, but I'm willing to hear it again and to strengthen my conviction on it. So learning is not just acquiring new knowledge, sometimes also disposing of old knowledge. Does that make sense? Alright. So Jesus starts to teach them how to pray by telling them how not to pray. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They stand in the synagogues and the corners of the streets. And they say, see me, see me, see me. They stand on Facebook Live. There's nothing wrong with Facebook Live. Thank God for the advent of technology. Technology. We thank God for technology, for the ability to reach more people. We use technology. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify. We use technology a lot. And Browell is even doing more now. But we must not just be reliant on that, especially when it comes to our sacred devotions. When it comes to things that are personal between you and God. You don't go to God in prayer and then you're on Facebook Live. Personally, I think that's disrespectful. We can stream a service, a corporate service. Listen very well to what I'm saying. Don't misquote me. We can stream a corporate service. It's the church service. We want to reach more people. Fine. Even though we don't do that, except in our special meetings. But my personal prayer, I mean, I'm praying in my room and I'm going on TikTok. Why? It's different if I'm leading other people to pray. To an extent, you know, it will pay me, but I will let that go. Amen. But you're praying and you're on TikTok and you're press rules. Nah, I think that's a bit dishonoring to God. Don't you think? He says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't show people that, you know how to pray. We're in a generation where there's a formula for everything. You know, everybody's saying something. If you pray 4 hours, You do 3 hours in tongues. You do 1 hour in the natural language. You see power. And people tell you, if you pray between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. and all of that. And then you go hallelujah challenge. Which, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Amen. I'm not saying go do it. But I'm saying there's nothing wrong with it. When your purpose for hallelujah challenge is so that you can post it online, and you dress like a miracle, you dress like an idiot. I saw a lot of things. What are you doing? And it's the folks that don't go to church. Amen. You're getting close to retreat. It's the folks who don't go to church. Then you wake up 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. to start. You're not praying really. Because you're pressing the phone and you're TikTok and you're saying you're praying. God doesn't hear those kind of prayers. I'll show you the kind of prayers God doesn't listen to. Because prayer is not just prayer. The disciples said, teach us. They've seen him pray. He said, teach us. It can be taught. It should be taught. So Jesus began to say, don't do that. In verse 6, he said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Meaning, your prayer should be secret. And when you have shut the door, your Father who is in secret, and who sees you in secret, shall reward you openly. Verse 7 now says, when you pray, look at the Bibles, please. Don't use vain repetitions as the Ethans do. Don't forget we have explained vain repetitions. Vain repetitions does not mean I'm going to repeat the same thing. That's not what Jesus is saying. Vain repetitions comes from vanity. Vanity, Bartholomew, remember? Vain repetitions will mean to stutter on vanity. What repetitions there is to chatter, to stutter, to dwell on something. Uh-huh. To have details on something. To be concerned, to focus on something. That's what repetitions. Have you ever seen where, what's the English of Alagbe there now? A blacksmith. Have you ever seen where a blacksmith is trying to eat an iron on the same spot? Have you ever seen that before? So, that repetition. That focus. That intention. That's the word Bartholomew. So he says, don't dwell on vanity. It's not about repeating the same words. No. You can repeat the same words. Paul will say, keep praying for me that I'm delivered from unreasonable, wicked and unreasonable men. For not all men have faith. 2 Thessalonians. And he didn't say pray it once. He said, keep praying. Continue in prayer. Colossians 4. Continue in this prayer. And he tells them what to pray about. So it's not about repeating the prayer. We've been repeating the Pauline prayers, haven't we? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us to us wisdom of the Spirit, right? Uh-huh. We've been repeating that prayer. I've been praying that prayer for close to 20 years. So it's very repetition. In fact, over our repetition self. So it's not about repeating the same prayer. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's about dwelling on vanity. Watch your prayer. All your prayer points is all about, I need a car, I need a job, I need money, and all of that. And that's everything you go to God about. Jesus says, that's not how to pray. So can you say that prayer should be taught? Right. He says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't stutter on vanity. Also, don't use reverse psychology for God. Father, you see, I'm not asking you for a car. I'm asking you for your will, which I know a car can come with it. I'm not asking you for a job. I don't stutter on vanity. I'm not asking for a job. I'm asking that your will be done. And I know in your will, he sees the heart. Amen. He says, your Father, he dwells in secret. We get that during retreat. Amen. He stays in the secret. Very, 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 very open revelation about God there. He says, don't use vain repetitions. Verse 8, that says, don't be like the Ethans, for your Father knows what the things you need, even before you ask. So you can see that it's about things. So he says, if it's about things, there's no need to stutter on things. Every of your prayer points is about things, material things. Which, of course, maybe today I'll gloss over a bit of different kinds of prayers that we have. Because there are different kinds of prayer. I'll gloss a bit over it. But you can ask God for things. I think I've said that in this teaching. Right? Philippians will tell you, Paul will tell you in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. Let nothing get you scared. I have a friend that will say, don't scared. He doesn't say don't be scared. He said don't scared. Don't scared. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. So, can I ask God for things? Come on. Can we ask God for things? Yes, Don't suffer in silence. You can ask God for things. But he says, don't let that be the predominant prayer. Every time you wake up in the morning, things. Night, things. And God is looking, who is this? Amen. Then Jesus now began to say, okay, if we are not praying like this, then what do we pray? What should be the content of our prayer? And he says, in verse 9, after this manner, you pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, prayer is about God's will for my life. A lot of people do not know God's will for their lives. So, they run another person's race. They don't know what God will have them do. Every day, they run from pillar to post, not knowing where God will have them be, who will have them become. But in prayer, I can find out God's will for my life. It's not a far-fetched reality. If you stay still listening to him, you will hear it. He will show you. So, he's telling you what your prayer ought to consist. Daily, you must ask him, your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my family. Your will be done in my ministry. Your will be done. Exactly as you have it in heaven. I want it here. Amen. So, Jesus begins to tell you that if I'm not going to repeat vain things, if I'm not going to stay on vanity, then I should stay on God's will. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It says, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That means you also pray against evil. And I've told you before, if the Bible tells you to pray about something, it means that thing will not happen until you pray. So how do I get delivered from evil? By praying. Say, deliver us from evil. You don't believe that? Say, deliver us from evil.
Deliver us from evil.
Jesus, deliver us. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. What a prayer. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. So there are folks who go all day, all month, all year, scared. Scared. But when I was younger, there's this idea that once you enter into the later part of the year, that there is evil. Nah, there should be good news. Amen. Why would you be anticipating evil? Evil. Yeah. In fact, there were songs around it. I don't even know what I'm talking about. There were songs around it. Oshu baba balade. You didn't grow up in the Ibadan. Oshu baba. Oshu baba. I understand. The people that were born there, I understand. Chelsea fans and all. But why would you expect evil? No, Jesus says, when you pray, deliver us from evil. We are delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Proverbs. So Jesus says not all prayers are prayers. Proverbs 28:9. Let me show you something. Proverbs 28:9. He that turns his ear away from the hearing of the law or from the hearing of God's word, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Woo! He said, he that does not regard God's word, even his prayer... Not all prayers are prayers. There are prayers that you just better have not been said at all. For example, those who pray to other gods. He says, he who turns away his ear from the hearing of God's word, even his prayer is an abomination unto God. Psalm 109. I'm there if you are. Psalm 109. And verse 7. Is it verse 7 now? Sir, I think I missed something. Yeah. Verse 6 says, see, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. And he's talking about the one who is deceitful. The one with a lying tongue. Finally, verse 2. The one who rewards good with evil and hatred with love. He says his prayer is sin. So that means when I'm setting out to pray, like Jesus taught the disciples, he said, if there's someone at home you have not forgiven, that you're keeping malice with, there's someone in your heart that you have made up your mind that this one, I can't forgive this one. He says, drop your offering. Go and appease. Then come back and present your offering to God. You're keeping malice, but you're speaking in tongues. To who? Your heart is full of bitterness, envy. You're just bitter towards people that don't even know you're bitter towards them. And that's what eats up. You know, that can eat up. You are angry at someone. You are bitter, but the person doesn't even know. And then you say, high five, hey.
Go! And you have to present. And Jesus says, don't bother praying. Because God does not like hypocrites. He is the truth himself. God detests lies. Six things have I eaten? Yes, seven. A lying tongue. What about a lying heart? God detests lies. So, he says, the prayer of someone who is living in bitterness, he says, it has become sin. God does not rate it. Your prayer will not become sin. Prayer is between you and God. Look at James 5. James chapter 5. Are you learning something? I am. Are you? I really am. James 5. Verse 14. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Share with us, please. Do you have spare Bibles? Alright. Good. Is there another person that doesn't have a Bible? By the way, try and get one. Just try. As a gentle spirit I am, so I'm telling you, you're a Christian, just try. Hallelujah. Praise God. James 5, verse 14. He says, is there anyone sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Can we verse 15 together? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he has committed any sins. Look at that. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. So that means when we pray, can things change? Yeah. Things can change. That means prayer can change things. That's why we pray. If there's anyone sick, let him tell his pastor. Let them pray. And when you pray, he says, prayer, the prayer of faith, that's the kind of prayer. Prayer of faith is a prayer that leverages on God's word, stands on God's word to get things done in faith. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So prayer can change things. Look at verse 16. Confess your faults to one another and pray one for another. I've explained this confess your fault before. Remember, it's not you now go to everybody in church. That's what I'm saying. This week, what I have done, cannot believe. You know, I've explained. What teaching was that? Bro, Pam, help me. Confess your fault. It's not two kinds of wisdom. I know we did Book of James in two kinds of wisdom, but it's not two kinds of wisdom. Just get that and share it with everyone. So we say, confess your fault to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Can we read that part together? I want to go. The effectual fervent prayer. That's not everybody. Again. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The reason why a lot of people don't pray is because they think nothing is going to change. But the Bible is letting you know that the fervent prayer of a righteous man can do much. It's a demonic doctrine to say that God is in control of everything. God is not in control of everything. The Bible doesn't teach that. And because people feel God is in control of everything, there's no need to pray. Because he will eventually do what he wants to do. And it's the devil's bait to get people to not intercede, to get people to not stand in the gap in the place of prayer. Because you will have them rather believe nothing is going to change. You're just wasting your time. But that's not true. He just tells you, the prayer of faith can save the sick. He didn't tell you, the prayer of faith will just ensure that God, anything God wants will happen. No. He says, when the prayer of faith is made, the sick will be saved. So that means, a man can alter and change things. And we see that very soon. It's demonic. To say, everything. You see that? That is, no leaf will fall from the tree and God does not know about it. Yeah? No. That are there things happening in this world right now that are not God's will? Eh? Would God rather have all men to be saved? First Timothy 2. Everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is everybody saved? God is not in control of everything. He asks us to go preach. He asks us to pray for the lost. Because things can be changed when actions are taken. It's a lazy Christian's approach to say, oh, God is in control of everything, so I'd rather just not do anything. I'll just wait. My own campus, what time?
Someone's relative was sick. I've forgotten who the relative is. I know it was maybe sister or cousin or something. She said, let's pray about it. So go ahead, pray. I said, we're holding hands. And she said, God, let your will be done. I said, no. What do you want? You want this person to be fine. Say it. Why are you scared to say she's healed? Why are you saying God's will should be done? I said, well, but God's will is healing. Then say it. It's a scared approach. Don't take it. Say it. I'll show you. I'll show you specifically that example in the scripture soon. Just give me some minute. God is not in control of everything. He's the all-sovereign God. He's the almighty God. He can do all things. But he doesn't control everything that you are seeing. Not everything happening in your life is God's will. Right now. And that's why he says, you must pray. And say, your will be done. If God has set everything in stone, why should I pray about his will being done? It's going to be done at the end of the day. How many of you get what I just said now? So prayer changes things. You know why the devil would rather you not pray? So that you can just be like this. But you will pray, right? Let's go on. Verse 17. So it says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man makes power available. It avails much. It makes tremendous power available. Verse 17 says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions like we. And he prayed earnestly. Say he prayed earnestly. Amen. Elijah was like you. He had a job. Amen. He had a wife. He had children to take care of. He had cell meetings. Amen. He had commitment here and there. Elijah had businesses he was running. See, Elijah was like you. He's giving you examples in the scriptures of men who did not give excuses. Of believers giving excuses here and there. Why they are not praying? Pastor, I have to wake up by 4 because my workplace is at Ekpe and I stay in Ikorodu. Is that far enough? Come on, is that far enough? Okay. Because I know there's a way people can just join from back. So maybe I should be somewhere else. This Lagos is funny. Just someone just say, you know, my dad doesn't like coming through the express to Lagos. When he just said, I could do Moti Jadi now. I said, from Ibadan, how did you come through Korodu? You know, people have their own ways of, Pastor, I work in Ekpe. I stay in Magodo. So I have to wake up by 4. Before Third Mainland Bridge, that's why I've not been praying. Elijah was subject to like passion. Elijah was a man like you. And he prayed earnestly. He didn't just pray. He prayed earnestly. Say earnestly. What did he pray about? That it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for the space of 3.5 years. Woo. One man's prayer changed seasons. Altered climate. One man prayed and it did not rain for 3 years and a half. He didn't say, Elijah prayed and God's will was done. Mm-mm. He said, Elijah prayed that it will not rain and it did not rain. You will have what you pray. Mark 11:24. Say, when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have what you pray. He prayed that it should not rain and it did not rain. Oh, we receive answered prayers. It's not set in stone. He prayed it to not rain and it did not rain. Verse 18. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her food. He prayed again. Elijah did that even though he was human. Even though he had mistakes. God wants you to know that your prayer can change things. You have a cold heart towards the things of God. Pray. Pray. Your prayer can make you born. You're trusting God for a family member. Pray. It's not just about crying and worrying about it. Pray about it. Ask yourself, have I prayed about it? If you've come to me for any counsel, any form of counsel before any, one of the first questions I will ask you, have you prayed? Or are you praying about it? Amen. Because prayer works. I don't want to share personal examples, but I can tell you prayer works. Pray, oh. Amen. Isaiah 38, let me show you something. Isaiah chapter 38. Verse 1. In those days, King Ezekiah was sick unto death. You know, they're sick and then they're sick unto death. Amen. Kata. Kata is not sick unto death. They're sick, then they're not sick unto death. Hallelujah. But kata can make you sick, man. I was one kata I had one time like that. I was praying to God. Before, I'd never thought about breathing well, like, we all breathe well, don't we? You know? But this kata came with a lot of headaches. I just started telling God, take this thing away! It's kata, but it's not sick unto death. Amen. He said, this guy was sick, this king was sick unto death. And it's Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you die. You know the beautiful thing about this is, Isaiah was Ezekiah's prophet, was the king's prophet. So, whatever Isaiah says is what God has said. And Isaiah is not even saying, I'm thinking you are going to die. Isaiah said, this is what God said. This is what God said. Who? You will die. You will not live. Ah! Ezekiah must have seen Isaiah prophesy and come to pass many times. He must have said, yes, we have a prophet in Israel. This time around, the prophet has spoken. What are you going to do, Ezekiah? He says, thus saith the Lord. That's like, this is set in stone. Verse 2. So when Ezekiah heard this, what did he do? He started crying. He started rolling on the floor. Nah. Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall. Not towards Isaiah. He didn't start begging Isaiah to beg God. Faith does not put pressure on man. Faith goes to God. Faith doesn't put pressure on man. Faith turns to God. Ezekiah turned to the wall, and prayed unto the Lord. And started telling God, remember, now, this prayer is a prayer of supplication. What is supplication? Supplication means you are asking for something that appears beyond reach. Don't forget, prayer of faith is, I'm standing on God's word. Ezekiah is not standing on God's word. He's standing on God's word, he's going to die. If he dares stand on God's word in that situation, wham. Amen? Because God's word to him is, you will die, you will not live. This guy said, I'm not going to stand on God's word. He said, God, remember that time I served you diligently with my house. Verse 4. He said, with a perfect heart, verse 3, which is good in your sight, this guy wept so. Not to man, to God. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah. Again, the prophet. The one that delivered death will deliver life again. Amen. Amen. Say, go and tell Ezekiah. Now this is how God works. God did not now tell Ezekiah, don't worry. God said, no. I'm going to still use your pastor. The one that told you, set your house in order, will tell you, enjoy your life. So God told Isaiah again, thus saith the Lord, verse 5, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. I will add unto your days 15 years. Can things be changed? Yes, sir. Do you know what scares people most? Does fear the Lord. Which you should be, because you should fear it, because that's God talking. But this guy heard does fear the Lord and said, it can be changed. Did he change it? Did he say, God, let your will be done? Eh? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Is this what he's talking about? Eh? This guy doesn't say, your will, you're gone. He said, no. God, it can't be now. Set my house in order. No, not now. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not next month, Lord. Do something about this. God said 15 years. Do you know how the guy is going to be living in 15 years? God already says 15 years. If you point a gun at him, he's just going to be looking at you. That's what I was thinking about when I was. Some years ago, I was teaching this somewhere. I said, 15 years? I'm going to dare the impossible. God already told me 15 years. God is not a man that you should lie. I know for sure 15 years, when he gets 15 years, he'll do the prayer of faith again. Amen. Once you start calling 15 years, perfect heart, upright heart, serving with all diligence, because that was the prayer I prayed the other time. Amen. And negotiate for more years. But for 15 years, you're sure God is the one powering your life. Ezekiah. God said, I will add 15 years. Look at, the one that now surprised me is verse 6. And I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of King Syria, and I will defend this city. God gave him more than he asked for. That's why James will tell you, the fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous things happen. God can do a thing in more than one way, and he can do more than one thing at a time. Do you get that? He can do a thing in more than one way, and he also can do more than one thing at a time. This guy was asking for God, even if it's 2 years. And God said, no, I'll give you 15. And I will also defend the city. I'll deliver it out of the hands of your enemies. Amen. So, this is supplication. It's not standing on the word. It's begging. Can we beg God? Eh? Come on. Can we beg God? It's entreating with someone that can change the situation. So why pray? Because things can be changed. So long people just rely on luck and whatever wants to happen. Let things just happen. Wherever the wind blows. No, that's not the life of faith. That's not the life of someone who's got a God. Wherever the wind blows. Que sera sera is one of the most foolish statements ever. If a bird is yours, it will fly back. If it does not fly back, it was never yours. Or there. Cage the bird. Amen. You've not seen your chicken walk away before. That it was never mine. Are you whining me? Cage the bird. What did I say? Cage the bird. And you see another bird again. Cage him. Was never yours. Que sera sera. You know, in life, I just believe. My philosophy, if it's yours, it will happen. Why did you not sit at home and become a doctor? Why you not a lawyer? He said, well, because it was never mine. What was not yours? Why did you not say, they told me, during my ministry ceremony, they said I'll become a pastor. Oh, no, don't know. I'm not stopping you. You're not pastor. Amen. Have you ever seen any name ceremony where they took the baby and said, you become an arm robber. You will rob nations. As we are looking at you, you will hold gun. Men will fear you. You will collect money at tarmac. There's no baby they prophesy that kind of thing in his life. But do we have people doing those things? It means that what will not be. You make it be. You catch the bird. Amen. Prayer makes things to be. Ezekiah prayed. You can pray. Are you with me this morning? Psalm 106. Verse 23. We read this during, I forgot the teaching. Forget not. Is it forget not? No. Take off your shoes. No, don't take off, like, the teaching, take off your shoes. Psalm 106. Verse 22. Wondrous work in the hands of Ham, terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the bridge to turn away his wrath that he should not destroy them. So he says God would have destroyed them. What saved them was that Moses stood in the gap. Can things be averted if we pray? Eh? Can evil be thwarted if we pray? Can we put an end to mess if we pray? Can situations improve if we pray? Can sicknesses go if we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2. Show you some things. We'll go to Jonah. Jonah 1. So, Ezekiel makes us realize that prayer can change things, can change a situation. So we've seen the prayer of faith, right? Where we're standing on God's word to get something done. Right? Because he told us, you lay your hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Amen. He told us evil can be thwarted. Come. Cameraman, come. There's no evil coming upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Things can change if we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the prayer of faith, the prayer of supplication, right? Where you are begging for something that appears beyond reach. There's also intercession. Intercession will be standing for another. For example, we pray for missionaries, right? And those who are in the fields. What are we doing? That's a prayer of intercession. Standing in the gap for another. Jonah 1. Are you learning something? Verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. And we know the story, right? Did Jonah go to Nineveh? Eventually, right? But first, he went to Joppa. He didn't even wait. He took the next ticket, Kauri. Straight. Tashish. He was asking for everything. The attendant was saying, looks like you're Russian, sir. I'm not Russian. Give me my ticket. So he got on the ship. And then there was a storm. Boom, 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 boom. And the people there said, looks like God is angry at someone inside this place. Who is it? Nobody. Jonah was sleeping. There was a storm. Jonah was sleeping. He thought God would not find him out. Nineveh is not going. So they cast a lot. It fell upon him. They said, this Chelsea fan. This guy on Chelsea, Jesse. They did second one. Jonah. Out of 500 people inside a ship, only you, twice, third time, fourth time. He said, it's you. He said, it's me. I have offended God. Just roll me over. Throw me inside. He didn't say, let me land. I will go back to where. He said, I would rather be thrown inside the ocean than go to Nineveh. That guy, he was bent on not going. I remember, Minister Andrews, Jeffrey Andrews, some years ago, he had a vision. He said he saw Jonah and he asked a question and he asked Jonah, he said, were you truly in the belly of the fish? And Jonah had responded in his own words. Jonah said, I was in disobedience. I was inside disobedience, not even in the belly of the fish, you know, which is quite instructive. He said, throw me over. Throw me. So they threw him. Bible says, and God had prepared a fish. So I say, it's not possible. Have you been there before? Have you been inside the fish before? How are you sure it's not possible? Have you seen a whale before? The tongue of a whale, of a blue whale, weighs as much as the elephant. The tongue. A baby whale gains 90 kg per day. What's your weight? A baby whale per day, the mother dispenses about 400 gallons of milk. And the baby gains about 90 kg per day. You think I'm gonna swallow a human being? Don't be in disobedience. Amen. Don't find out. Hallelujah. The Lord had prepared a fish. How do you tell your wife? Where have you been? You came home late. You can't believe it. Say it. I've been inside a fish. What do you mean? I said you wouldn't believe it. A fish swallowed me. Imagine explaining that to your wife. Fish, Titus, yeah? Jonah 3. Hallelujah. Jonah 2 now. Jonah chapter 2. You learn something. Verse 1. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. Jonah prayed to God from the fish belly. So, location is not a barrier. God can hear a man 1,000 feet below sea level. There's no situation too deep, too tight that God cannot step in. God heard Jonah from down there. He will hear you. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah. Verse 10. God can talk to anything. God talked to the fish. Ooh, fakado de sika patu de ketus. If God can talk to the fish, he can talk to humans for you. He can talk to situations. God spoke to the fish. He go vomit Jonah. And the fish did. Then God said, nah, you ready to go to Nineveh? You know, once bitten, twice shy. They're not born you where not to go. You know the next thing they're swallowing you. So the word of Lord, verse 3, chapter 3. The word of Lord came unto Jonah the second time saying, go to Nineveh. God's instruction has not changed. Preach unto it. And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days journey. In verse 5, and people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. So they prayed to God. Because they had heard the word from Jonah that God was going to destroy them. Chapter 4, Jonah 4. So when God saw, chapter 3 verse 10, and God saw their works and turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them, and he did it not. So when God saw that they prayed, the people of Nineveh, God changed his mind. Can things change when we pray? But this is not, Jonah was not happy. You know, when you are prophesied that things are going to get burned, things will destroy. And God said, nah, they've prayed. You see? They've what? So Jonah said, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah prayed unto the Lord. That means he's talking to God. And he said, this was what I said when I was in my country. Before I ran away to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious God and merciful God. Slow to anger, full of mercy, kindness, and repents from evil. Take my life. It's not better for me to die than to live. And God said, are you doing well to be angry? Amen. Should you not be happy that they have changed? That's it. They will not be looking at me and say, nah, false prophet. You remember that guy? We saw his post at the other time. He said we're going to be destroyed. Our economy grew. He said flood was going to take us away. He started building skyscrapers. It's a fraud. That's what they were saying about me. God said, they prayed. Prayer can change the situation of things. Teach us to pray. Teach us not to rely on situations. Teach us not to rely on logic. Teach us not to rely on nature. Teach us not to rely on happenstance. Whatever happens, teach us to pray. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to supplicate. Teach us to ask. Pray for me as I close. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. Are you learning something? Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to rely on you and you alone. Teach us to learn to change situations with you in charge. 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the record that God has given us eternal life. Oh, that's us? And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has eternal life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And some people say, that means God only answers his will. No. That's not what he's saying. He didn't say, if we ask anything according to his will, as though God's will is written down like this. So if we not ask according to his will, he will hear us. If we don't ask according to his will, he will not hear us. Remember Hezekiah. What was God's will in that situation? Set your house in order. You will die, you will not live. But that changed. Go back to that 1 John 5:14 again. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That is, his will is that he hears us. He's telling you God's character, not God's setting things in stone. He's saying God's character, God's will is that he hears us. Okay, let's put it this way. According to his will, if we ask, he hears us. Does that make sense now? Huh? That's a better reading. That's a better rendition for it. According to his will, if we ask, he will hear us. Because God's will is that is to hear us. Don't forget last week I taught you that man was made to talk to him. We saw that from the Garden of Eden. Man was made to fellowship with him, to seek his face, to hear his voice. That is his will. If we ask anything, he will hear us. Because that's according to his will. His will is that he listens. You know what Jesus told disciples? He says, you being evil, your children, if they ask you for bread, you don't give them stone. If they ask you for fish, you don't give them a serpent or scorpion. He says, you being evil, knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give gifts to those who ask. Then he says, if you ask, it to be given. If you seek it, you will find. If you knock, the door shall be opened. Why? That is his will. According to his will, he hears us. Is it making sense now? Imagine praying every time knowing God's will is that he listens. I see with Hezekiah that situations that are set in stone apparently can be changed. That things that look already done, done, deal done, dusted, this is sealed. And God said, nah, it's not sealed, it's not sealed. Hezekiah asked. Isaiah must have been asking, what happened? 15 years? God said, hey, Hezekiah asked, according to my will. I hear. That changes everything. That changes the way we pray. That changes the way we approach. That changes the way we talk. That changes our faith and our approach towards the throne of grace. This is the confidence that we have. What a confidence. A freedom of speech. This is why we talk. This is why we open up. This is why we voice out. Because we know that His will is to hear us. John goes back to Genesis and says, His will is to talk. His desire is to communicate. So fellowship. Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, we have been called to fellowship. His will is to hear, to listen. I read on. Verse 14 now. 1 John 5, 14. This is the freedom of speech, right? Huh? Confidence. That's what freedom of speech there. This is the open-heartedness we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know, can we read verse 15 together? And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have desired. Can you see? It's not about asking something in a set of books. He says, we know that whatever we ask, we'll receive answers to the petitions. Is there something to ask this morning? Is there something to pray about? Is there something to pray about? He says, Elijah was a man of like passion. And he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. There are times I've had my back against the wall. There was nothing else to do than to pray. And I'm still going to pray. And I know things will change. And I know situations will turn around. And I know God will make a way. God will do it. God will do something. Yeah. I mean, this God spoke to a fish. I mean, this God heard Jonah from thousands of feet below sea level. I mean, this God changed Hezekiah's life. This God is willing to hear me. And so I'm willing to talk. I'm willing to talk. There's a confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, He hears us. He hears us. He hears us. He hears us. Pray this morning.